Welcome to the City Club of Eugene's February 23rd program. Eugene as a Gigabit City, Mozilla Grantee Showcase. This is the 21st program in our 2017-2018 programming year. I'm Sandra Bishop, City Club President. Eugene was chosen from a total of 47 cities as one of the Mozilla Gigabit Cities. So we can celebrate. We won. Winners received national recognition and not insignificant grants. Eugene was chosen in part because of our reputation as a collaborative tech community with a widely deployed fiber infrastructure. Today, we'll hear from some of the grantees about their dynamic and exciting innovative projects. If you enjoy this program, you can support us or become a member of City Club at cityclubofeugene.org. Support for City Club is provided by our members and sponsors, including Gatos, Churnside, and Balthrop, attorneys at law, AARP of Oregon, Movasagi Plastic Surgery and Diziba Medical Spa, and Evans, Elder, Brown, and Subert Commercial Real Estate. And special thanks to a couple of our in-kind sponsors, PacInfo and Simplified Computing, and KLCC Radio. City Club programs are broadcast on public radio station KLCC 89.7 at 6:30 on Mondays following the Friday program. The coordinators of today's program, we want to give special thanks to, are Paul Thompson and Joel Corin. And now I'd like to turn it over to Joel to introduce our presenters and speakers today. Thank you.
I come with great news for all of you. I'm hardly going to speak at all. Secondly, you should know that, like elementary school, the best part of elementary school was show and tell. And that's what we're going to do today. Show and tell by the technology community and the winners of the Mozilla grants. I'm only going to introduce Matt Sayer, but that's something. Matt is now the Vice President of Statewide TAO, Technology Associates of Oregon, and has worked for the past few years here in Oregon in the Southern Willamette Valley, growing the tech community. If you go on their website, you'll see the number of activities that they have. And let me tell you a little bit about Matt. He graduated from the University of Oregon, and one major was not enough. He had degrees in economics, business, and geography. He worked a little bit in Portland, worked a little bit in the Bay Area, and according to his website, he followed the salmon pattern and returned home to raise his sons. I love that line. Here in Southern Oregon, Eugene has been recognized as one of the top 10 up-and-coming tech communities in the nation, and also Matt was recognized as one of the 20 leaders under 40. Matt will tell you about the Mozilla program, introduce Craig Worrell of Mozilla, and Craig will introduce the individual participants. Matt?
Thank you, Joel and Sandra and Paul and City Club of Eugene members for the opportunity to share some insights on why the Mozilla Gigabit City designation matters. In the summer of 2016, our community's investment in fiber optic internet infrastructure began to take shape. It was given a name, EugeNet, that is spelled E-U-G-N-E-T, and it is now Oregon's largest open-access fiber optic network. The construction project quickly delivered exactly what supporters had hoped. a half dozen new internet service providers emerged to create competition in what was previously an underserved market. Internet speeds in downtown Eugene increased by tenfold, while at the same time, prices for internet service quickly fell by 80%. Buildings in downtown Eugene that connected to HugeNet began to fill with tech companies, and those tech companies are hiring. It was like adding sunshine to a newly planted garden. More broadly, affordable gigabit internet was unlocking the job creation capabilities of what was already Eugene's fastest growing local industry, tech. That summer, it became clear that the opportunity in front of us was much bigger than downtown Eugene and much more aspirational than growing tech companies. A strategy in the making, the potential to systematize economic prosperity as an inclusive proposition. Mozilla's mission is to ensure the internet is a global public resource, open and accessible to all. That mission aligned well with the spirit of HugeNet. And so to seize the opportunity, a dozen local organizations, including the City of Eugene, the University of Oregon, Lane Arts, Lane STEM, Lane Community College, Rain Eugene, TAO, and several others embarked on a moonshot effort to be the next Mozilla Gigabit City. We didn't know it at the time, but our team would go on to beat out 47 other cities vying for the prestigious designation. Winning has created opportunities to put local innovations happening here on a world stage. It has shown a spotlight on the ways our growing tech industry is special and significantly different from that of our peers down in Silicon Valley. Our story, our tech community's story, is about inclusive economic prosperity and collaboration. You see it affirmed in our actions as well as our words. We have a strong bias towards getting things done and an appetite to pull up our sleeves and do them. TAO's local programs are products of that mission. Apprenti, the first registered tech apprenticeship program in the nation at scale. This program aims to train women, minorities, and veterans for high-wage jobs at tech companies. Elevate Lane County, a program that creates school-to-work learning opportunities for local students, opportunities like job shadows and internships. Experience Oregon Tech, which buses local university and high school students to local tech companies for firsthand experiences. That program boasts a 100% success rate in placing at least one student from every bus with a good paying job or an internship. And lastly, Hack for a Cause, an event that brings together industry professionals to work side by side with students every year in April. They develop technologies that provide transformative public benefit for the people who live in Eugene and Springfield. The Mozilla Gigabit Cities designation strengthens Greater Eugene's reputation as a West Coast tech hub. It also connected us with a global community of innovators. In October, I had an opportunity to travel to the annual Mozilla Festival in London, England, called MozFest. And what I found there was a lot of people that think like we do. Optimists. With Mozilla's partnership, our focus is now on helping the entire region fully leverage our world-class internet infrastructure for public benefit. The Gigabit City selection brought with it grant funding for local initiatives that increase participation in technology innovation, funding that has created learning opportunities for a diverse group of project teams. I'm excited for you to hear and see some of those projects today, a little show and tell. I understand that we're broadcasting not only on KLCC, but also via the web, on Facebook, thanks to Craig Gray, again, from Forward Thinking. With us today is another Craig Worrell, who is boots on the ground for Mozilla here in Eugene as their portfolio manager. And he's going to highlight some of the exciting project that Mozilla has funded here locally and the amazing people behind those projects. Please join me in welcoming Craig Worrell.
Hello, everyone, and welcome. Thank you to City Club, to Sandra, Joel, Paul. Thank you so much for spotlighting and highlighting this work. Thank you very much to TAO and Matt for the great introduction and for helping us get here to Eugene. So about me, just real quick, but after grad school at the University of Oregon, I moved to Washington, D.C. to work in public service. I really wanted to build community and positively affect change. But my boss lost his job after 8 years because of that pesky constitution, so I also, in turn, lost mine. So when I had this opportunity to come work for Mozilla in the city that gave me my education, I came running back. For me, Mozilla was an organization I knew and I loved. It helped me get into tech back when I was a teenager. But, you know, not everyone knows what is Mozilla. A lot of you know Firefox. It's a web browser that a lot of people are aware of. But Mozilla is more than Firefox. Mozilla is a tech company that started in February 1998. It was an evolution from a browser called Netscape. And it was a small group of people with this idea that technology should be open source, it should be community driven, and it should give back. And that's what Mozilla continues to be to this day. We're an international nonprofit with over 1,200 employees between the foundation where I work and the corporation that houses Firefox. So why is Mozilla in Eugene? For the many reasons you heard Matt list, it's a dedicated and supportive community. There was always impressive turnout. So whenever someone tells you, like, turnout doesn't matter, it really does. Mozilla really saw that you guys were able to come out and support a project like this. Cross-sector partnerships are huge. You know, schools are working with governments, they're starting with working with startups, and working with our impressive nonprofit community here. And I've only seen it grow since I've arrived. And the strong fiber infrastructure that Matt mentioned that continues to grow. We have fast gigabit speed internet, you know, and we're trying to get that to 100% connectability across the county. And that's the goal. And we have a lot of strong supporters, small ISPs working here locally to make that happen. And pretty soon, you all will have high-speed residential fibers. So keep supporting us and keep pushing for that. As Matt said, Mozilla believes in preserving the open web. The internet's something we've all loved and always loved. We've learned things from it. We've met people on the internet. We've started businesses. It's a place to learn, where we can gather and share news. It's a place where we can talk to family. It's a place where we can meet new people. It's a place where we can raise money for a good cause. We can order goods and services, or we can just browse funny pictures all day. I know this audience is a big fan of dank memes, and so am I. They're hilarious. Sometimes we just want to sit back and watch Netflix, but internet can be much, much more. It can be a resource for positive change and a tool for education. It can help build community through programs like the Gigabit Community Fund and Hack for a Cause, like Matt mentioned, which will be happening April 6th. Stay tuned. The Mozilla Gigabit Community Fund is a micro-grant funding program. These grants range from $3,000 to $30,000. It was initiated in 2012 and spans five cities nationwide. We're in Austin, Texas, Chattanooga, Tennessee, Kansas City, and the two newest cities, Lafayette, Louisiana, and here in Eugene, Oregon. Just this week, we were able to allocate $280,000 nationwide to the next iteration of these projects. Thanks to our partners at the National Science Foundation and US Ignite, we have given away over a total of $1 million since the Gigabit Community Fund's inception to over 75 different projects. So how can these high-speed internets create public benefit? Through investment in education and workforce development. How does that happen? I think the best part of my job and the work that I do is that there's no correct answer to this question. We cut the checks for these pilot projects, and then the grantees have 16 weeks, 4 months to push the limits of emerging technology. Is it traditionally successful every single time? I wouldn't say that. But that's the whole point, is seeing what is capable when we put our minds to it. We have no idea what emerging technologies such as virtual reality, augmented reality, low latency, cross-city interactivity, and big data computation, and artificial intelligence is capable of until we do it. Dystopian novels such as 1984, Brave New World, movies such as Soylent Green, 2001 A Space Odyssey, they've made us wary. One thing we have to realize is that technology is not always out to get us. It can be a force for good. Whether we like it or not, emerging and advancing technologies are here. We can choose to be skeptical and resistant. Sometimes even I am, I will admit it. Or we can be at the forefront of affecting the technological revolution in a good way. For the sake of our children and future generations, we must take an active role in responsibly introducing our youth to these technologies. By being resistant, we only serve to increase what we refer to as the digital divide. I think programs like the Gigabit Community Fund and Hack for a Cause, local organizations like Connected Lane County and the Elevate Lane County program help to alleviate this divide. And by working hard to ensure that everyone has access to these technologies, and we have diverse voices creating these technologies, we will create a future generation of leaders and workers who are given all the tools to succeed, not just the privileged few. I'm going to mention two of the projects. There's five total this round. I'm going to mention two that won't be presenting today. One of them is NEDCO. NEDCO's Neighborhood Economic Development Corporation, based out of Springfield. It's been serving the Eugene-Springfield area since the 1970s. Their project this round was utilizing gigabit high-speed internet connections to put on youth financial literacy classes at several locations at once. This really helped reach underserved youth who either don't have access to transportation, have work priorities, aren't able to travel much, and it helped bring urban speakers into rural classrooms. Ross from NEDCO was quoted as saying, "It's hard to quantify the power of the Mozilla grant had on the DNA of our organization's programming. Tech can be used to build nonprofit capacity and bridge the urban-rural digital equity divide." One of his students, Blaze, after taking the Connected Youth Financial Foundations class, opened a Roth IRA immediately. I was privileged enough to attend one of these classes, and the youth were learning compound interest strategies way beyond my knowledge base. And they were utilizing these emerging technologies and different apps to learn how to manage their finances. It was absolutely amazing. And they've been able to reach 29 youth across extremely diverse cross-sections, youth that are in poverty, youth with disabilities, working at alternative schools, conservation corps, homeschooling, students that are overcoming homelessness. It's just been amazing work. So please check out NEDCO's work and support their amazing organization. Another group is called Redefining Women in Tech. Their mission is to empower women to be equitably represented in tech fields and to have the resources they need to achieve their career goals. One stat I just saw, after peaking in 1991 at 36%, the rate of women in computing roles has been in steady decline. It's now hovering around 25%. This is, you know, we think things are getting better, but there's a lot of room for improvement in this area for gender equality in the tech sector. About 150 area residents have been impacted by Redefining Women in Tech's work as part of the Mozilla grant. Lauren, who runs the program, was quoted as saying, "This opportunity from Mozilla has enabled us to break down barriers to entry and to educate our community on how to leverage the gigabit infrastructure. We've created a runway, and the city of Eugene is extending it into a long-term benefit." They have an event this upcoming Tuesday that you all should check out. It's called Training and Technology, Inclusion by Design in the Gigabit Era. Learn how to make the most of live streaming and interactive event tools. That'll be Tuesday, February 27th, 5:30 p.m. to 7 p.m. It'll be simulcast in two locations, the UO Knight Library Browsing Room and Rain Eugene Downtown. So please check that out. That is a Mozilla event. Without further ado, I'd like to introduce the first highlight today, the first Mozilla grantee. It is called the Gigabit Artist Residencies Program, and it is by Lane Arts Council. Gigabit Artist Residencies provides students an opportunity to interact with trained artists right now. Previous to this grant, only about 19% of educators in rural and low-income schools had formal arts training. They've been able to reach over 175 students across Lane County to gain skills in graphic design, audio engineering, and more. And teachers also take part and learn professional development through this program. And to speak more and share some of the work the students have produced, please welcome Eric Brahman, Arts Education Program Coordinator for Lane Arts Council.
Thank Thank you so much for that introduction, Craig. Again, my name is Eric Brayman. I'm from the Lane Arts Council, and I'm the Arts Education Program Coordinator. And I've had the opportunity to get to work with this amazing program and bringing it to fruition and working with our teaching artist, Olive Del Sol. And I want to make sure that her name is known in this room because she really is the leader of what's been happening in the schools. Olive Del Sol is an artist who has been on our roster for a number of years, and she has always had this interest in bringing technology and art together in the classroom. And this has helped her really grow her program and perfect it in a way that we can actually serve these students and bring technology in a meaningful capacity and in a way that they can use after this program is over. What is her program? Her program is focused around digital storytelling. So digital storytelling is the utilization of sound, photo, and video design to tell an original story. It's a tradition that's kind of been out there on the interwebs for a long time, and a lot of people had been using this since video came into fruition. Basically, movies are a form of digital storytelling, but what this really focuses on is bringing it down to an accessible level for students who are working on things that are around 2 minutes long, something that they can create within about 10 classroom visits, about 45 minutes per classroom visit. It focuses on using bringing literacy and technology together for the students. So this is about really interdisciplinary education. That's not just about arts programming, and it's not just about storytelling. It's about bringing those two worlds together so that the greater educational experience is improved for every student we serve. Digital storytelling often focuses on one specific theme. And this year, with this round of Mozilla Gigabit, we focused on the stories of origin. So Olive guided students through thinking of world origin stories or personal origin stories. So they are able to kind of intersect also with social studies as a potential area that they could focus on, or personal reflection and being able to express themselves through, through a story. We worked with four schools through the course of this grant cycle, and we worked with Kelly Middle School here in Eugene, North Eugene High School, Network Charter School, and then also Oakley Middle School out in Junction City. And each of them kind of took a little bit of a different approach to how they brought the program into their schools. In Kelly Middle School, there was a student teacher who was doing her student teaching there in Kelly Middle School, and she was really interested in this idea of students' origin stories from themselves. And so she created a curriculum that went beyond what Olive was bringing into the school and had it be actually a part of the work that she was doing through the course of the entire term with them. So every single thing that they were learning and they were working on with Olive was continuing in the classes in between it with that teacher. Out at North Eugene High School, we worked with the graphic design and video design class so that this was a supplementary educational experience for them that helped grow out their program. And in that specific situation, the teacher was really interested in learning how he could bring what was learned in Olive's lessons into his classroom for future terms. At Network Charter School, we worked with a poetry class and music class so that students could utilize their music and poetry and turn that into a digital storytelling experience. And you're going to actually get to see a video from one of the students at Network Charter School, which I know City Club is very familiar with Network Charter, and get to see kind of how her poetry was translated through this digital story. And then finally, out at Oakley Middle School, this was an elective class that students were able to opt into. So they normally have a study hall, and instead of going to study hall, a number of them opted into coming over and starting to learn a new skill. So they chose to come in and basically can take another class that was optional for them. And we worked with a number of special needs students as well in that process, which was really meaningful and impactful for them to be able to learn how to express themselves in this way. So the importance of the Mozilla Gigabit Grant is that we have access to high upload and download speed, which you'll see is really essential because videography is an essential part of this program. We also have access to free and low-cost apps, and we intentionally had students working on iPads with applications they could use on their personal devices after they left so that everything they learned they could continue practicing. Also the same for teachers to be able to continue implementing for future years. We had access to tech tools. We were able to invest in 10 iPads, which made this possible. Otherwise, this is a major barrier for especially our rural schools. We're bringing creative technology into the classroom and across classrooms, and I think that's one of the really coolest things here. And then finally, we included a live stream training for teachers. So I'm going to go ahead and let y'all watch a wonderful story that was created by one of our students out at Network Charter, and it's called Where Do I Belong? And for those who are tuning in on the radio, you'll be able to hear her poem, but also know that there is a lot of really awesome videography that goes with this as well.
Where do I belong? My life like trees blowing in the wind, always unstable, but not falling. I spend my time walking cold streets, the warm sun hitting my face, the wind against my skin. Exploring the world, even the littlest things, I live my life on the edge, always reckless, always risky. My heart wants danger. My soul needs freedom. I belong out in the wild world. My parents want me in their gray house, safe and isolated. But I know that's not home. I don't belong in a gray, boring house. Without risk of death, what is life? My life like a ship in self-destruct, flying fast, an exciting ride, then gone. Walking on a bridge at a park, throwing rocks off the edge, watching them splash when they hit the water. Loud music playing, everyone dancing and laughing. My life is here. Late nights wandering in the cold, moon bright, talking in its light. Under the stars, my life is here. I follow the river to new things and places. My home is not a house. This house is my cage. My home is a feeling. My home is my people. My home is my freedom. My home is my adventures. This is where I belong.
So that's all my time. That was just one example, and she really incorporated a lot of the elements of digital storytelling. So proud of her. I just want to end with saying that our next big steps is we're going to start expanding on our digital gigabit residencies and starting to look at video game design as well as stop motion animation as two big steps for us. So thank you so much for listening and viewing.
All right, thank you so much, Eric. That was amazing. I got a little tear in my eye. No, it was great. I got to visit several of these classrooms and work with some of these students and see what they're doing. And I'm just so proud of them and just so envious. This is something I would have loved to have when I was younger. And it's just so cool that we're able to offer this to them at such a young age and such a diverse audience of students. The next Mozilla project we will be presenting is called City Synth. City Synth is by Harmonic Laboratory. And CitySynth worked with engineers, technologists, and students from the South Eugene robotics team to transform the city of Eugene into a musical instrument. CitySynth was revealed on February 2nd at the first stop at the Lane Art Council's Friday Art Walk and currently resides in the Broadway Commerce Center lobby. So without further ado, please welcome John Bologna, intermediate artist with Harmonic Laboratory, with his special guest from South Eugene robotics team.
Okay, hi, I'm Harjus Lane, and this August, I actually had the honor of being on the Mozilla Gigabit Community Fund Grant Committee. And so this grant committee was looking to fund projects that improve digital equity, workforce development, education, and web literacy. And as a student, I believe that I brought like a unique perspective to this committee, and especially to grant proposals that address education. And because Eugene was chosen as a gigabit city, organizations that are committed to improving gender equality in the tech sector, as well as organizations that provide vital educational services, received financial resources that they needed to reach their goals. And I'm just very grateful that I had like the opportunity to be a part of it. And so so I'm part of CitySynth too, because I'm in South Eugene robotics team. And our contribution to CitySynth was that we hooked up 6 cameras to Raspberry Pis, which are basically just inexpensive microcomputers, And we wrote video streaming software for these Raspberry Pis. And at first it seemed really easy to do because it didn't seem super difficult, but we actually found out that it was a lot harder than we expected because we were writing software, and every time we wrote software, we had some issues because we had like a delay rate, and we also had a very slow frame rate. And so it took a lot of time and effort to write code that didn't have these issues. And eventually, after we completed our project, we shared step-by-step instructions on how to replicate it, since it was a very new thing that we did. And CitySynth was an incredible learning opportunity, and thanks to this, we found a way to stream video on Raspberry Pis, which is a fraction of the cost of a GoPro. So, yeah.
Thanks, Jasmine. So, CitySynth, as Craig had explained, is a collaborative installation that kind of turns views of the city, views of Eugene, by these cameras that were created by the South Eugene Robotics team, of the city into a musical experience. The work is powered by the residents who come to the Broadway Commerce Lobby and the Gigabit Network. So one of the challenges in making this work was to imagine what could be possible on the network with community-wide collaboration. The project culminated with three main partners up here, South Eugene Robotics team, a member of Harmonic Laboratory, an interdisciplinary arts collective, and XS Media, a local internet provider that's working with HugeNet. Harmonic Laboratory had a vision for this outcome, but we wanted to make sure that each and every partner contributed their own voice into developing this project. So, for example, CERT, as Harjazin explained, had to come up with a cost-effective solution to stream video across the internet that was basically plug-and-play. XS Media provided access and service of the Gigabit network for the project, but they were faced with the challenge of having to take these video cameras off the street and plug them in directly and get them working. And then as an artist with Harmonic Lab, we were tasked with integrating these videos directly on the network streaming into an open source solution that would artfully show these videos while transforming views of Eugene into a hub of musical exploration. So I want to spend this next minute or so just explaining, how does it work? Four video cameras, as you're kind of seeing up there, that were built on Raspberry Pi platform, were placed in four different locations downtown. The videos stream live views of Eugene over the Gigabit network in real time. And these videos are plugged in via XS Media across the Gigabit network, and they're coming streaming into a one central location on a computer in the Broadway Commerce Center lobby. So inside this lobby, we not only have this computer, but we also have a central interface for which users can interact with. They can select different videos, alter synthesis variables, and digitally remix video parameters as the city or these live video feeds unfold before them. So CitySynth allows residents to basically be the VJ, mixing and matching views of the city that in turn control a music synthesizer heard inside the space. So as a result, Cityscape becomes a soundscape. CitySynth is a free art event and installation. By offering all residents the ability to play with and experience the instrument, CitySynth tries to provide a musical voice for all communities. Thus far, about 500 plus people have been touched by the project, with about 135 hours of engagement time by being in this lobby space. We partnered with Lane Arts Council to hold the opening of CitySynth as part of their First Friday Art Walk on February 2nd. Our month-long installation in this lobby helps provide the service of art to the entire community, fostering that principle of digital inclusion, the idea that means we have an accessible, free internet for all. People everywhere can access when they come to this installation and have the opportunity to participate in composing, remixing, and shaping these videos, and essentially they're able to touch the Gigabit network directly. So CitySynth provides a creative metaphor for what's possible when diverse participants come together to create something that's open for all. So by partnering with CERT, we're also, this project, we want to make sure that we leverage next generation voices as part of that creative process and in the work's shared success. CitySynth strives to generate multiple points of access and inclusion. Harmonic Lab and CERT, we've already posted our code up online on GitHub and our building plans online so that others can create their own CitySynth. With the instructions, anyone can create a similar project with as little as a computer and an internet connection, whether or not they have their own webcam. And as we move towards figuring out ways to leverage the network here in Eugene, I want to just take this opportunity to ask a question of us all. How might we imagine our ideal community? Like City Club builds community through open inquiry, how can we build community in the gigabit network? Certainly when we include more voices, certainly when we include those voices from younger voices, the next generation, we can create a more diverse and resilient community that's fair and equitable to all. So with that, thank you very much.
Thank you so much, John and Hardisleen. Like Hardisleen mentioned, not only was she able to take part in the coding of this project, but sat on the selection grant review committee with rubbing elbows with local executives to select what projects we would bring to the community. And I was very happy to have her, the future of Eugene and future of tech, being able to be a part of that process. So the next Mozilla Gigabit project we're going to highlight, the last one today, is called Coder in Residence, a.k.a. Gigabots. This one's by Lane Stem. This Coder in Residence program puts gigabots, which are gigabit-enabled internet robots, in elementary 4th and 5th grade classrooms. This was led by an all-woman robotics programming team consisting of 8 local tech sector professionals who acted as robotic mentors. Not only does it provide robotics and programming curriculum to these young students, but it creates professional development learning opportunities for educators to sustain this work far beyond the grant period. So please help me in welcoming Aaron Maloney, Lane STEM coordinator, with a special guest from Kansas City and creator of the Gigabots, Jonathan Wagner, founder and CEO of Big Bang.
Thank you, Craig. Over the summer of 2017, Lane STEM convened the Eugene Coder Dojo leadership team to discuss the future of the program. Originally envisioned as an after-school coding club, we heard from participants that the most ideal circumstance for young children to learn programming is in class during the school day, avoiding the barriers of transportation and self-selection that after-school clubs often encounter. Out of these meetings came the concept of a coder-in-residence program inspired by Lane Arts and various other organizations' occupation-in-residence programs. Fast forward to the fall of 2017, when Lane STEM was introduced to software developer Jonathan Wagner, who lives in the fellow gigabit city of Kansas City, and founded a company called Big Bang. He had developed software that allows anyone to program Lego Mindstorms robots from anywhere. That is, by plugging in a wireless adapter into a robot and downloading his open source firmware and opening a browser window with a wireless dashboard he created, students in one classroom could program gigabots in another classroom over high-speed fiber internet. Needless to say, once we got word that we received the largest Mozilla cross-city grant, we bought 30 Mindstorms kits and set off running. We targeted upper elementary students for our first Coder in Residence program and found 5 districts overjoyed to let their 4th and 5th grade students learn about programming. The 5 schools that participated were geographically different. 3 are in Eugene and Bethel, while 2 are in the rural districts of Junction City and Triangle Lake. However, all of the schools are identified as low income and have either robotics or career and technical education programs of study related to programming so that Gigabot students will have future opportunities and pathways. Ultimately, the Coder in Residence program reached 350 Lane County students. Our next task was to find 3 Gigabot masters who would fine-tune the robot model we would use in classrooms, develop the lesson plans that the teachers and the coders in residence would team teach, and ensure the lessons were accessible to every student, regardless of their backgrounds. Then, we reached out to our partners at the Technology Association of Oregon to help recruit tech professionals who were willing to spend 1 hour over 4 weeks in January and February with 2 classes of 10 and 11-year-olds. How fun. We were lucky to work with an amazing team of 8 all-female coders in residence, representing a variety of technology expertise. We held a professional development session in mid-December to introduce everyone to our gigabots and the learning objectives of the program. Ultimately, we wanted all of the Lane County students in the Gigabot program to experience programming in a positive way. First, these students that we worked with are part of the generation of digital natives, children who have grown up using technology at the touch of a finger to summon information, communicate with one another, or project their identities to the online world. They are used to using technology for consumption, but we wanted to teach them to use it for creation. Two, we know that by the time students, especially female students, transition to middle school, a large percentage of them lose interest in STEM fields. We knew that giving them a positive professional female role model might mitigate that loss. Finally, equally important as the student learning outcomes, we wanted the teachers who said yes to participating in the Coder in Residence program to increase their own technology skills and to feel confident that after the pilot program ends, they are able to once again use these gigabots or coding activities or whatever type of technology in their lessons and to engage their students once again with skills like creative problem solving, troubleshooting, and responding to error messages in a constructive way. We are proud to announce that upon the culmination of the Mozilla granting period, Lane STEM is planning an expansion of the program that would put gigabots into 5 different schools 3 times a year for 2 years. That works out to about 30 classrooms each year for an estimated impact on over 1,500 fourth and fifth grade students in Lane County. And now I'd like to introduce to you Jonathan Wagner in Kansas City right now to do a quick demonstration of our Gigabot.
Hey everybody, I just want to say thank you to Lane STEM and to Eugene for inviting me here with you virtually today. I just want to say something briefly before I'll show you the demo, because that's really the cool part. Me talking isn't really the interesting part. It was mentioned that I'm the founder of a company called Big Bang. We're a cloud platform for the Internet of Things, and you've probably heard that term before, and we use that to talk about types of devices, connected devices that are not your phone or not your desktop computer. But it's really important to be able to bring these types of connected devices to students, because these are the types of things that we're going to need this next generation of folks to work on. So I'm going to hopefully share a screen with you so that you can see a bit of how the Gigabots work. We have a robot sitting here on the table, and I'm going to try not to drive it off the table. So this is a Gigabot. This is the design. Hopefully you can see my screen here. This is the design of the robot. All right, got some waves. That's good. That was used for the class. And all this software is open source. It's available on GitHub. Aside from the robot itself, the only thing that students need are just a little SD card and a little just a little tiny Wi-Fi adapter to turn their robot into a connected Gigabot. And this is the coding environment that we've developed for the students. It allows them to do visual programming, but they can also see the actual code that is generated and it runs on the robot. So it gives them an opportunity to, an easy way in to look and see how do these blocks translate into JavaScript. And JavaScript is kind of the lingua franca of the web. Every time you use a web browser, you're using JavaScript to get some of the job done. So I'm going to show you a quick example here, just a little quick demo of the robot. So we're going to upload some code. It's not going to be super interesting, but it's super quick. It'll just make the robot beep, hopefully. He hasn't fallen asleep there, so I'll listen. That should be a little beep maybe in a second. There we go. All right. So That was kind of interesting. That's not super, super interesting. We have this other little block of code here. And what this allows us to do is evaluate the touch sensor. All these robots have sensors, touch sensors, motion sensors, that kind of thing. So what we could do, what might be more fun and a little more dangerous, is we could see if we could drive the robot. And that would be kind of neat. So I'm going to change this a little bit. And one thing I forgot to mention is that the Gigabots have their own social network. So think of it like Facebook for robots. They can communicate with each other in real time from any location. And that's kind of what makes it interesting. So this robot that's sitting on the table has a friend robot that's right here on my table.
I'm going to upload some code. I push the button. We should hear a couple of beeps, maybe. There we go. There we go. Okay, so I'm driving it forward. I meant to have him go right or left, so I always have to be careful. I'll drive him off the table. But anyway, I'm pushing a button here in Kansas City. You can barely see it in the background here. Pushing the button in Kansas City, and then we've got a robot that's moving in Eugene. And students can use this type of behavior. They can use these to create collaborative behaviors between robots, either in their classrooms, within the same city, or across the country. And, you know, we think that is sort of deeply cool. And it's really an innovative project that gives students an opportunity to get a real hands-on feel for creating connected devices, exploring the options in robotics in a really fun and simple way. And so I think that's all I've got from Kansas City.
That was wonderful. What a refreshing program today. So I'm just going to introduce Joel to introduce our first questioner. And since we all know Joel Koren is going to be our president next year for City Club. So we'll after our first questioner, we will have the requisite 5-minute break for questions, though you'll have to talk quietly because I'm going to continue to broadcast on the live stream during the 5-minute break. So, Joel, take it away.
That was pretty cool, wasn't it? Kansas City. We've never even had somebody come in from around the corner. Joe Marashak started his own gaming company. He made a game that was used for the early Xbox and early internet where people could play games with each other who weren't in the same room. He then sold the company and has been an innovator and has helped other startup companies get moving, learn about the business, learn about the things that they have to know about. And recently he has been selected as the chief startup officer and director of RAIN Eugene Accelerator, a program that works with high-tech entrepreneurs and university researchers to launch startups. RAIN is the regional accelerator and innovator network, is a government-funded initiative that helps creation of high-growth technology companies. So he helps young startups, both entrepreneurs and university researchers, and does a great job at it. Joe?
Okay, here's your question. During the grant writing process, all the grantees face the challenge of identifying and creating one, or in some cases, several partnerships. Can you talk about the challenges you faced when identifying potential collaborators and the process of forming these partnerships? And what were some things you learned about this process that you had not anticipated?
This is Eric Brayman from the Lane Arts Council. I think one of the things that we experienced in that process is trying to find schools that were able to commit the time for this type of residency and that were interested in it and believed that it was free. I think that it's sometimes really hard to communicate the opportunity to schools when it's something that you're coming to them with. And the way that we kind of worked through that is being able to make sure we were working with the school to have them tell us what their needs were out of it so that we could adjust it and make it personalized for that school's specific approach, such as what I kind of explained in the presentation process. Another part is we had the live stream teacher training was a big part of ours, and so we were working with Eugene Tech, and that was one of our partnerships, and because we have never done a live stream before, and it was a learning experience for us, that's for sure. And so it was working with them to find the experts in the community who knew how to do that kind of work, and then also kind of learning through that process what were the specific needs on both ends to make sure that it could be successful. So I think that's one of the answers.
This is Erin Maloney from Lane STEM. And in terms of identifying potential partners, we were fortunate in that that came fairly easy for us. We work with all 16 school districts in Lane County and have excellent partnerships with the Technology Association of Oregon and hit it off really well with Jonathan from Kansas City right away. I would say the one challenge we did have, sort of echoing some of Eric's thoughts, are that teachers are very busy people, and so getting them to get on board wasn't always the easiest step for them to make. And in addition, robots don't really like complicated internet connections, and so it was a challenge for us to communicate with the IT departments of various schools in order to troubleshoot how to best get them onto the network so that students could begin programming.
John Bologna, Harmonic Laboratory. Again, I think echoing what some people have said, that at least in the identifying partnerships, it was relatively easy. It actually go back to sitting down with coffee with Sarah Maggio and Patrick Logan, who are two mentors with South Eugene Robotics team, and developing a relationship in the grant writing process so that we're kind of moving from the starting from the ground up rather than having to develop those relationships, you know, after securing a grant. So it's kind of like baked in and wanting to make sure that moving forward it was included and very open in that process. But one of the challenges, too, kind of facing through is identifying a space and making sure that space is open to the public, accessible, and trying to find that how can we make sure that residents of Eugene can come and interact with this installation with CitySynth at most hours of the day or at night. And I think that was one of our major challenges as we move forward in finding that other partner.
Great, thank you. So we usually take a 5-minute break to come up with questions, but since we're on the live stream, we'll take a break from the radio airtime.
You're listening to KLCC, informing and inspiring listeners for more than a half century. Broadcasting in HD at KLCC Eugene 89.7, KLCO Newport 90.5, KLFR Reedsport 89.1, and at 88.1 KLFO Florence, KMPQ Roseburg, and KLBR Bend. You can find us online at klcc.org. KLCC is a service of Lane Community College.
The City Club of Eugene is really the premier platform here in our area to engage in public discussion about creating a strong and vibrant community. And these are the kind of programs that we do. So if you're so inclined, if you're out there in the live stream world and you'd like to become a member or a contributor to the City Club of Eugene, you can donate or become a member by going to our website at cityclubofeugene.org. There's a PayPal there. You make a contribution. You can also become a member. The City Club is really about formulating new approaches and solutions to community-wide programs. So please get involved in any way that you can. So apparently, because we had so many demonstrations today, we actually don't have time for questions from the audience. So I'd just like to take a couple minutes. I have to do the wrap up with the sponsors. So we'd like to really thank the presenters today, and I'll do that more formally in the end. But City Club is a nonprofit organization. Support for City Club is provided by our members and sponsors, including Gatos, Churnside, and Balthrop, Attorneys at Law, AARP of Oregon, Movasagi Plastic Surgery and Zeba Medical Spa, and Evans, Elder, Brown, and Subert Commercial Real Estate. And a special thanks to our in-kind sponsors, University of Oregon, Academic Extension, Dotson's Photography, and KRVM 91.9 Radio. I'd like to remind everyone that KLCC 89.7 Radio airs the program on Monday, the following the Friday program, And also thank you to cable television for televising recent City Club programs. Next week, please join us for Lunch with Mayor Vinnis. This is March 2nd. Lunch with Mayor Vinnis, past successes and future challenges for Oregon. And as I said, more details and information about future programs can be found online at cityclubofeugene.org. Now, I'd like you to hold your applause today because we have a lot of thank yous. So I want to say thank you to Aaron Maloney from Lane STEM, Coder in Residence, aka Gigabots. And we'd also like to thank Jonathan Wagner, her partner in crime here, for joining us through the live stream in Kansas City. And his company is Big Bang Software. And I'd also like to thank John Bologna from Harmonic Laboratory and City Synth. And a special thank you to Hardisleen, our student from South Eugene High School. And I'd also like to thank Eric Brayman from the Lane Arts Council Gigabit Residencies. And a special thank you to Joe Marushek, our first questioner, from, he's the executive director of RAIN Eugene. And a special thank you to Craig Wuerl, Mozilla Portfolio Manager here in Eugene. Glad you're back. And a special thanks to Matt Sayer, who is an integral part in making these programs happen. Matt is from the Technology Association of Oregon. So thank you all so much for a wonderful program. Thank you. That concludes today's program.